Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, December the 18th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come to you today to continue our study of your word. We're grateful for all that you have taught us in the past, and today we ask that you would continue to enlighten us so that we might walk according to your will and be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today's subject will be God's approval, and we will be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 through 21. The title again, God's Approval, beginning at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundations of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Testimonies to Ministers, page 105, beginning at paragraph 1, says this: how shall we search the scriptures in order to understand what they teach? We should come to the investigation of God's word with a contrite heart, a teachable and prayerful spirit. We're not to think, as did the Jews, that our own ideas and opinions are infallible, nor with the papists, that certain individuals are the sole guardians of truth and knowledge, that men have no right to search the scriptures for themselves, but must accept the explanations given by the fathers of the church. We should not study the Bible for the purpose of sustaining our preconceived opinions, but with the single object of learning what God has said. Some have feared that if in even a single point they acknowledge themselves in error, other minds would be led to doubt the whole theory of truth. Therefore, they have felt that investigation should not be permitted, that it would tend to dissension and disunion. And if such is to be the result of investigation, the sooner it comes, the better. If there are those whose faith in God's word will not stand the test of an investigation of the scriptures, the sooner they are revealed, the better. For then the way will be opened to show them their error. We cannot hold that a position once taken, an idea once advocated, is not under any circumstances to be relinquished. There is but one who is infallible, he who is the way, the truth, and the life. Those who allow prejudice to bar the mind against the reception of truth cannot receive the divine enlightenment. Yet when a view of scripture is presented, many do not ask, is it true? Is it in harmony with God's word? Or by whom is it advocated? And unless it comes through the very channel that pleases them, they do not accept it. So thoroughly satisfied are they with their own ideas that they will not examine the scripture evidence with a desire to learn, but refuse to be interested merely because of their prejudices. The Lord often works where we can least expect him, he surprises us by revealing his power through instruments of his own choice, while he passes by the men to whom we have looked as though those whose light is given are the greatest they are. God desires us to receive the truth upon its own merits, because it's truth, not because of who is presenting it. The Bible must not be interpreted to suit the ideas of men, however long they may have held these ideas to be true. We are not to accept the opinions of commentators as the voice of God. They were erring mortals like ourselves. God has given reasoning powers to us all, as well as to them. We should make the Bible its own expositor. All should be careful about presenting new views of Scripture before they have given these points thorough study and are fully prepared to sustain them with the Bible. Introduce nothing that will cause dissension without clear evidence that in it God is giving a special message for this time. But beware of rejecting that which is truth. The great danger with our people has been that of depending upon men and making flesh their arm. Those who have not been in the habit of searching the Bible for themselves or weighing evidence have confidence in the leading men and accept the decisions they make. And thus many will reject the very messages God sends to his people. If these leading brethren do not accept them, no one should claim that he has all the light there is for God's people. The Lord will not tolerate this. He has said, "I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." Even if all our leading men should refuse light and truth, that door will still remain open. The Lord will raise up men who will give the people the message for this time. Truth is eternal. The conflict with error will only make manifest its strength. We should never refuse to examine the Scriptures with those who we have reason to believe desire to know what is truth. Suppose a brother held a view that differed from yours, and he should come to you proposing that you sit down with him and make an investigation of that point in the Scriptures. Should you rise up, filled with prejudice, and condemn his ideas while refusing to give him a candid hearing? The only right way would be to sit down as Christians and investigate the position presented in the light of God's word, which will reveal truth and unmask error. To ridicule his ideas would not weaken his position in the least if it were false, or strengthen your position if it were true. If the pillars of our faith will not stand the test of investigation, it is time that we knew it. There must be no spirit of Phariseeism cherished among us. We should come with reverence to the study of the Bible, feeling that we are in the presence of God. All lightness and trifling should be laid aside. While some portions of the word are easily understood, the true meaning of other parts is not so readily discerned. There must be patient study and meditation and earnest prayer. Every student, as he opens the Scriptures, should ask for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit, and the promise is sure that it will be given. The spirit in which you once come to the investigation of the Scriptures will determine the character of the assistants at your side. Angels from the world of light will be with those who, in humility of heart, seek for divine guidance. But if the Bible is opened with irreverence, with a feeling of self-sufficiency, if the heart is filled with prejudice, Satan is beside you, and he will set the plain statements of God's word in a perverted light. There are some who indulge in levity, sarcasm, and even mockery towards those who differ with them. Others present an array of objections to any new view. And when these objections are plainly answered by the word of Scripture, they do not acknowledge the evidence presented, nor allow themselves to be convinced. Their questioning is not for the purpose of arriving at truth, but is intended merely to confuse the minds of others. Some have thought it an evidence of intellectual keenness and superiority to perplex minds in regard to what is truth. They resort to subtlety of argument, to playing upon words. They take unjust advantage in asking questions. When their questions have been fairly answered, they will turn the subject and bring up another point to avoid acknowledging the truth. We should beware of indulging the spirit which controlled the Jews. They would not learn of Christ because his explanation of the scriptures did not agree with their ideas. Therefore, they became spies upon his track, laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Let us not bring upon ourselves the fearful denunciation of the Savior's word, "Woe unto you, lawyers! For ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourself, and them which were entering in ye hindered." It does not require much learning or ability to ask questions that are difficult to answer. A child may ask questions over which the wisest men may be puzzled. Let us not engage in the contest of this kind. The very same unbelief exists in our time as prevailed in the days of Christ. Now, as then, the desire of preferment and the praise of men lead people away from the simplicity of true godliness. There is no pride so dangerous as spiritual pride. Young men should search the scriptures for themselves. They are not to feel that it is sufficient for those older in experience to find out the truth, that the younger ones can accept it from them as authority. The Jews perished as a nation because they were drawn from the truth of the Bible by their rulers, their priests, and their elders. Had they heeded the lessons on Christ and searched the scriptures for themselves, they would not have perished. Young men in our ranks are watching to see in what spirit the ministers come to the investigation of the scriptures, whether they have a teachable spirit and are humble enough to accept evidence and receive light from the messengers whom God chooses to send. We must study the truth for ourselves. No man should be relied upon to think for us. No matter who he is or in what position he may be placed, we are not to look upon any man as a criterion for us. We are to counsel together and to be subject one to another. But at the same time, we are to exercise the ability God has given us in order to learn what is truth. Every one of us must look to God for divine enlightenment. We must individually develop a character that will stand the test in the day of God. We must not become set in our own ideas and think that no one should interfere with our opinions. What a point of doctrine that you can do not understand when a point of doctrine that you do not understand comes to your attention. Go to God on your knees that you may understand what is truth and not be found as were the Jews fighting against God. While warning men to beware of accepting anything unless it is truth, you should also warn them not to imperil their souls by rejecting messages of light, but to press out of the darkness by earnest study of the Word of God. When Nathanael came to Jesus, the Savior exclaimed, "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered, "When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." And Jesus will see us also in the secret places of prayer. If we seek him for light, that we may know what is truth. If a brother is teaching error, those who are in responsible positions ought to know it. And if he is teaching truth, they ought to take their stand at his side. We should all know what is being taught among us. For if it is truth, we need to know it. The Sabbath school teacher needs to know it, and every Sabbath school scholar ought to understand it. We are all under obligation to God to understand what he sends us. He has given directions by which we must test every doctrine to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. But if it is according to this test, do not be so full of prejudice that you cannot acknowledge a point simply because it does not agree with your ideas. It is impossible for any mind to comprehend all the richness and greatness of even one promise of God. One catches the glory of one point of view, another the beauty and grace from another point, and the soul is filled with the heavenly light. If we saw all the glory, the spirit would faint. But we can bear far greater revelations from God's abundant promises than we now enjoy. It makes my heart sad to think how we lose sight of the fullness of blessings designed for us. We content ourselves with momentary flashes of spiritual illumination when we might walk day after day in the light of His presence. Dear brethren, pray as you never before prayed for beams from the Sun of Righteousness to shine upon the Word that ye may be able to understand its true meaning. Jesus pleaded that His disciples might be sanctified through the truth, the Word of God. Then how earnestly should we pray that He who searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, He whose office is to bring all things to the remembrance of God's people and to guide them into all truth, may be with us in the investigation of His holy word. God wants us to depend upon Him and not upon man. He desires us to have a new heart. He would give us revealings of light from the throne of God. I cannot now consider this history further, but I ask you in every city, in every town, in every household, I ask every individual to study the lesson of this scripture, bearing in mind the words of inspiration, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Here is presented the only election that is brought to view in the word of God. It is those who take heed lest they fail, lest they fall, that will be accepted at last. There can be no presumption more fatal than that which leads men to venture upon a course of self-pleasing. In view of this solemn warning from God, should not fathers and mothers take heed? Should they not faithfully point out to the youth the dangers that are constantly arising to lead them away from God? Many allow the youth to attend parties of pleasure, thinking that amusement is essential for health and happiness. But what dangers are in that path? The more the desire for pleasure is gratified, the more is cultivated and the stronger it becomes. The life experience is largely made up of self-gratification in amusement. God bids us to beware. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We should come into a position where every difference will be melted away. If I think I have light, I should do my duty in presenting it. Suppose I consulted others concerning the message the Lord would have me give to the people. The door might be closed so that the light might not reach the ones to whom Christ has sent it. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." My brethren, in His great mercy and love, God has given you great light, and Christ says to you, "Freely ye have received, freely give." Let the light bestowed on you shine forth to those in darkness. Let us rejoice and be glad that Christ has not only given us His word, but has given us also the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, and that in His strength we may be more than conquerors. Christ is saying, "Come unto me. To me belong right counsel and sound judgment. I have understanding and strength for you." By faith, we must rest in Christ, remembering the words of one who was inspired of God to write, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Ask God to give you much of the oil of His grace. Carefully consider every word. whether it be written or spoken. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the counsel given. And we receive this counsel, knowing that we need to study your word. We need to settle our hearts with an understanding of that word and allow the power of the Holy Spirit to guide us into the path of righteousness, that we might indeed study to show ourselves approved unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been Morning Manna, December the 18th, 2020.